You know, when I covered the Eagles, I would hate going to OTAs because they're so monotonous and you're just watching like grown men in shorts and a t-shirt just throw footballs around and everyone's like having their analysis and freaking out. But I will tell you, I would love to go to Cleveland Browns OTAs right now with this quarterback competition because I'm sure the media's having a field day with it and I'm sure the players are even having some fun. When you look at this quarterback competition, which is such a peculiar one, between Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, and Dylan Gabriel. So let's do a little OTA report. They had a wave this week. You got two more in the next 2 weeks, and everyone's going to want updates on the Cleveland Browns situation, especially since Shedeur Sanders is there. So Zach Jackson does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Zach, appreciate it. Thanks so much. How you been?
I've been busy, but I'm good, so good to be here.
So your first few days of OTAs with this quarterback competition, what are the big takeaways that everyone's freaking out about here?
Well, they've had three, but we're only allowed to watch one a week, right? So we've had basically one rookie minicamp observation and one day of OTAs. And it was a different OTA because they're splitting team drills, which there really aren't many in OTAs, into two because they want to get all four quarterbacks reps. So it's a circus. And then by the time Shedeur got up as the fourth one, there weren't enough linemen to go full 11 on 11. So he was more like 9 on 9, right? So he got the fewest reps. That's how it's going to be. We'll see how that changes. But, you know, you're out there. Joe Flacco clearly has the strongest arm, throws the best ball. Everybody wants to see Shedeur. He's been impressive. You talk to people in the building, they say he's been impressive. He's only been in the building like 16 days at this point. Right. So what this competition is, Zach, right now, for at least two more months and probably beyond that, it's two different competitions. It's Flacco versus Pickett for the starting job. And then it's the two rookies positioning themselves against one another, but really just in the scheme of things to be ready. So I think it's 12 of the 26 years the Browns have been back. They've had at least three starting quarterbacks. No one expects this team, you know, to be really good this year. And if they are, it probably means that Joe Flacco took it and took this opportunity and was outstanding. And then the rookies will just sit and watch, right? At least to a certain point. So there are probably twists and turns left. There isn't a lot to see, but I understand the interest in it. And it's interesting to us too, because we don't know what's going to happen. I think Joe Flacco is going to be the number one starter, the week one starter, but who's starting in week 5 and week 8 and week 13, I don't know. And how many of those games are relevant to this season versus the bigger picture of a team that has two first round picks for 26, we'll find out.
If you're right on that, that Joe Flacco is starting week 1, I've always thought, like how you kind of just laid it out, it's Flacco against Pickett for week 1, and then you have Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. I never thought neither would not be on the roster. So does it feel like whoever loses between Flacco and Pickett that they'll be sent somewhere else or just maybe outright released?
I think that that's probably the most logical road, but there really are multiple roads here. You know, the Browns don't have much at all committed. The guaranteed money to Pickett and Flacco combined is not even what like a low tier starter that's somewhat established makes, right? The guy to whom they have the biggest commitment is Dylan Gabriel, right? And everyone is laughing at them for picking him in the third round. So nobody else was doing that. So we will see how that goes. They might keep four. There, you know, someone might get injured. There might be a trade opportunity for a team, New Orleans, that has a connection to Kenny Pickett through Kellen Moore needing a guy. You know, Flacco might start a few games and then get shipped off to it could go a number of ways, but probably both rookies stay on the roster given how it shook out. And then there's a veteran starter, and then we just see what happens from there.
But what's the feeling amongst Cleveland Browns fans, Zach Jackson? I know they've been tortured. They've had 5,000 quarterbacks in the last two decades. We all see the jersey that just keeps on getting updated. But when it comes to Shedeur Sanders, I thought he was a first-round talent. I thought maybe he could fall to the second round. I would have never thought, obviously, he was going to go to the fifth round. But if I was a Browns fan, I'd be sitting there saying, we got the steal of the draft in the fifth round. And he probably just fell because of who his dad is and how loud his dad was leading into the draft process.
Yeah, from these early impressions, he can throw the football. You know, he can play. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Browns got a pretty good draft class from what we know, right, 4 weeks after, from what they needed and where they need to go. But it went in a weird order. It didn't go how anyone predicted it, starting with the Mason Graham, Travis Hunter trade, right, all the way to Shedeur, 22 spots up on the third day of the draft. But now they're here, and Shedeur looks like an NFL player, right? So he, if he can do the things that made the Browns think that he was worth a pick when so many other teams didn't, made the Browns trade up to get in front of what, you know, X team, it felt like Philly, but probably other teams, to make sure they got him in the program and see what happens. If he can do those things, he's going to be here and get chances. So I don't think it's going to be September. I'm not sure it's going to be November where he's anywhere ready. But to watch him in these settings, Zach, you see, okay, that's why he had first, second round grades. That's why he was an intriguing prospect, you know, for football reasons. And I know to various groups, he's an intriguing prospect for non-football reasons. But he has an opportunity to entrench himself, you know, as a player who collecting NFL paychecks. And I think there's at least somewhat of a chance that he can become a real NFL quarterback given the right time and opportunity.
Regardless if it's Flacco or Kenny Pickett come week one, I look at the first six games. It's a tough stretch with the Bengals, mm-hmm. the Ravens, the Packers, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Steelers. When you get that next quarterback, assuming that it doesn't go well with the way the team is and then also those opponents, does it kind of feel as if that next quarterback up for Gabriel or Shador will be in that range of the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets that spans between October 19th and November 9th?
Well, when the schedule comes out, the first thing you notice is zero primetime games, right? So the NFL thinks what most of us think on the outside. But in week five, they go to London. Then I think 3 weeks after that, they have their bye week, which coincides with the trade deadline, which coincides with almost midseason. So if you're looking at change, if you're looking at judging where the organization is, and they did make changes, you know, they rehauled the offensive staff for the second year in a row. There's not a lot of feeling that guys are on the hot seat. And I think the most important thing, Zach, about this quarterback competition that hasn't gotten talked about once really since the second Shador was drafted is that they started the draft by getting an extra pick for next year. So there's a very strong chance that the winner of this contest is really nobody outside the 17 games that are on the paper that you just looked at, right? So that's where this goes. And I think those two dates, the day after London, and then certainly that, I think it's the New England game that's right before the bye week. So in that window, which is all really in about 4 weeks of calendar time, you could see a lot. And like I said, Brown's history says these guys are going to play. And you know, all the reaction, the reason I'm here, the reason there's so much buzz about OTA practices and in my Twitter mentions and all of that is because they do joint practices at Carolina and Philly in August. And that's when it really is a competition and not just watching, right? When we're watching them now, we don't know what just got installed. We don't know where the ball is supposed to go. We don't know if Shador is out there against one single guy who's ever going to play an NFL snap. And we don't know if he's ever going to play an NFL snap, right? But how they divvy the reps and what they're trying to do in those joint practices, specifically in Philly, who's really good, obviously, and that would be the very middle, almost to the back end of training camp, that's when it's going to be telling about where guys are and what the Browns are trying to get done. Because even if this is about 26, and even if this is about maybe Shador, maybe Gabriel, but probably somebody else, Kevin Stefanski and the coaching staff are not thinking that way because they might not be around for 26 if that's the case.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people were just surprised. I still liked the pick when they did take Shador in the fifth round because they got the extra pick, like you said, in the first round for next year. And then they took Dylan Gabriel, which was surprising, in the third round. And I was higher on Dylan Gabriel than most. So what has kind of been the Browns' explanation and what you're hearing on why they felt like they still thought it was a good idea to go make the move to get Shador in the fifth?
Well, they tried to say we followed the board, but I mean, come on. There's no way that the board said that, right? Because even if – well, there was 50 picks between those guys. Yeah. There was no quarterbacks taken by anybody in those 50 picks. And in the middle of that, they had one pick, and they took a second running back, right? So maybe that running back was super high on their board. That's Dylan Sampson, you know, who led the SEC in rushing. I get it, but – yeah, what the explanation is, I don't know. I think safely, I would say that it's they liked Shador, right? And so whoever told them to push the button or push the button for them or led the conversation really doesn't matter. It's you know, these guys, they're committed to Gabriel to an extent. They're committed to Shador to almost no extent. He's going to sell a lot of jerseys. He's going to pack training camp. There's going to be a ton of buzz around this team. But the coaching staff and the guys who are only under contract for this year, which includes both of the veteran quarterbacks, they have to get ready for week one and then that brutal stretch of five straight games against playoff teams that follows that, right? And the rookie quarterbacks realistically are getting ready for the future. And so when we're watching, and we'll be watching like closely again next Wednesday, right? We're watching just the beginning stages of how those guys are going to fit.
You know, I haven't seen something like this probably since Tim Tebow. And let me be clear, Tim Tebow is one of the greatest college players of all time. I never thought Tim Tebow was going to be the sensational NFL quarterback. I do believe Shedeur Sanders can be a good NFL quarterback. That's going to be the fun thing, I think, that's going to be interesting to see how the Browns manage this. Because what their schedule is, if you throw Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett to the wolves the first few games of the season and it does not go well, how they are going to deal with the calls to see Shedeur play is going to be fascinating to me.
Well, for one, that's why they didn't bring Flacco back for 24, because the fan base in the locker room wanted him with Watson. But it's funny you say Tebow, because you know, after the first 15 minutes and just the initial reaction of, wow, they really just traded back and took a second quarterback, and it's this quarterback, I was reminded of when I was at Fox and they sent me to Cincinnati for a Tebow preseason game, right? And he wasn't going to play, and when he got in, he stunk, right? But this is even before social media is what it is now. There was an NFL Network camera down on the Jets sideline that just followed him during the preseason game, right? He was holding the clipboard. He was signaling plays. He was talking to his quarterback mates. He was, you know, just warming up. But there was one camera that followed him all the time. And that's what it's going to be like with Shedeur. That it's not the only case, right? And the Browns have participated in other things. I'm not going to use the word circus. It hasn't been that. But might it be that in August? And if he does get in a preseason game with guys that can get out of a stance and catch a ball and he throws a touchdown, you're exactly right about how that's going to go.
So right now you think it's going to be Flacco week one. Pickett's probably somewhere else. Would you give the edge to Shedeur, Dylan Gabriel for that two spot? Who do you think gets the edge right now?
Well, based on what I've seen, that part's not close. Shedeur is such a more gifted thrower than Dylan Gabriel and looks so much more like an NFL quarterback. But what have we seen in relation to what it's really like out there? Not much. Like I said, he's not even out there in 11-on-11s. He's not getting rushed. You know, this is he's never been in this system until 3 weeks ago, been around any of these guys, so we'll see. I'm not completely convinced on Flacco because I'm not sure, you know, Flacco versus Pickett with where this organization is headed and what all will go into it. But if it's just based on throwing and just based on Flacco knowing this offense and coming to energize this team in training camp after they just went through the motions in training camp last year when everybody was signed and they had just come off 11 wins and everybody assumed that Deshaun Watson was going to be good, everybody except those of us who watched him every day, right? So this is a completely different feeling. So I feel like Flacco will energize things and galvanize things, I guess is the word I want, and win the job. But this doesn't make for good radio, but there is zero guaranteed about this. And that includes the four guys. Like, it would be very Cleveland Browns if another player takes a snap. And I'm telling you, like, I like what I see from Shedeur. I mean that. But I don't know that either one of these rookies will ever play, let alone this year. I don't know that they'll be ready. We just don't know at this early stage.
Wow. Like, that's never play for, like, I would be surprised if, you know, I know that they're not going to keep all four, but if we don't see at least three quarterbacks play this year, probably.
Well, sure. But I mean, Dylan Gabriel does not look like an NFL quarterback to me, like 0%. So I don't know what's going to happen.
So why do they love Gabriel so much?
Well, they fell in love with the intangibles, right? But they have an analytic charting project that they have followed in the past, and they lucked. And so, you know, they were more than willing to admit, like, yes, you saw us in Mississippi at Jackson Dart's thing. Yes, we've done the thing. But they kind of snuck in a trip to Oregon on their way to the highly publicized pro day at Colorado. And Gabriel was, you know, fairly impressive at the Senior Bowl. Andrew Berry and Stefanski were there on the sideline watching every throw. What had happened there is Jalen Milroe got the hype. He was an Alabama guy. He had played for Browns offensive coordinator Tommy Rees for a year in college. The Browns special teams coach was the head coach of Milroe's team, which also had Dart, which also had Riley Leonard. Like, Tyler Shuck was kind of the story. He just flew under the radar, right? And then I just don't think any other team was taking him in the top 100 or probably the top 150. If I'm wrong and the Cleveland Browns have their quarterback, that'd be great. You know, one of these years I would love to cover a normal franchise and a rookie quarterback that sticks around for more than 6 to 18 months. But if it's Dylan Gabriel, I will be beyond shocked.
What's going to happen with Watson? Like, what's the latest on him? He's never playing again for the Browns, right?
No, he's not ever playing for the Browns again. Now, I don't want to say never when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, but he is injured. You know, he's been in the building. He's doing his rehab. He is under contract for two more seasons, and right now he's on the cap for four more seasons. So I believe because he got hurt offsite, I believe he'll go on the non-football injury list before camp when they have to make those designations, and then probably will just spend the season on that list. Now, for a normal player that goes on NFI, they don't have to pay him. His contract is fully guaranteed. So then after next year, they'll have to make a decision on how to handle it, probably figuring out the best way financially to make a clean cut, but I don't know. I mean, they owe him so much money. Zach, his cap number for 2026 is $80 million.
Jeez.
He's not in the plans.
Jeez. It's one of the all-time worst trades in contracts ever in the history of the NFL. It's just wild that it got to this point. Last thing that I'll ask you, one non-quarterback question here with Zach Jackson, who does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. It's actually more of a statement. If it's a quarterback not showing up for this stuff, I think it's a bigger deal. Does anyone really care that Myles Garrett, after getting paid, isn't there for OTAs right now?
People do because of how he's handled things in the past, specifically dragging the organization through the mud and then all of a sudden signing. But they don't pay him for practice participation. They pay him for pressure rate for Saxton to be that. And he's always shown up and done that. So it's a little weird there because he stuck to his guns and then all of a sudden budged. And people are like, maybe you could show up. But he's never done it before. So I think right now the Browns have enough on their plate and they feel like when they get out there, like even when they go to training camp, they don't let Miles practice in July. Like, he doesn't need to, right? They need him for September to December.
He is Zach Jackson. Does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. Kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show. Zach, we appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be talking to you throughout the summer on this quarterback battle.
I'm sure. Thanks.
There you go. Zach Jackson with us. A whole lot of good stuff there. We'll do a news brief next.